returning home to the place I have been before. It's been a long and lovely time. Now I'm turning home to what my heart's been searching for. Never more to roam. I'm turning home.
Greetings and welcome to Turning Home. This is your pastor at Paradise, Rob Earnest from Paradise United Methodist Church in Smithville, Missouri.
Our scripture is from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. John 12, 20 through 33, the disciples and Jesus have gathered for the festival of the Passover in Jerusalem. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been mistaken for somebody famous? Have you? It's kind of a rhetorical question there, but think about it. Maybe you have. I don't know. It happened to me the other day. A young thing, probably in her late 20s, who waited on us at the restaurant in Kearney, asked me if I was Clint Eastwood. That's not exactly what she said. As I ordered my pork chops off the senior menu, she said, "I look like the guy in that movie a few years back who said, 'Get off my lawn.'" It was Clint Eastwood, wasn't it? I think of it. My dad was mistaken for somebody famous at least once. The most famous person ever. Most of you know that my dad was a United Methodist pastor for 20 years until his death in 1984. And most of the years that I was in the house, he was a United Methodist pastor. In the early 70s, his appointment was to grace an Oak Grove United Methodist Churches in Searcy, Arkansas. I claim Searcy, Arkansas is my hometown. I graduated high school from there. We spent about 5 or 6 years there. It's in north central Arkansas, one county above Pulaski County, where Little Rock is. It seems that things were just kind of right at that time for the Holy Spirit to take a hold of those churches, because they grew tremendously, especially at Grace Church. The membership had been about 100. One Sunday morning, 25 people joined the church. The next Sunday morning, 26 people joined the church. So needless to say, in a building that seated about 80 or 90, a 50% increase in membership meant that it began to get a little crowded there in that little sanctuary. But we loved it there, especially Dad. It was kind of the pinnacle of his career, I think. And everyone loved him, especially the children. Dad had a way with the little ones, which was awesome. And I've never actually been able to put my finger on exactly what it was. But he loved the little kids, and they loved him right back. Especially Christy Gingrich. She's one of the ones who first associated Dad with someone else. Now, Christy was about 4. And she was the youngest of John and Linda Gingrich's brood. They had 5 kids. And the Gingriches were one of those households that had joined the church recently. Christy loved my dad almost as much as she loved her own dad, I think. And she would pay very close attention to everything that he did. She was very interested in him. Now, one particular crowded Sunday morning, Christy and her family settled into their usual pew, which was on the left side about three rows back. As the prelude was being played, in came Lucille and Jeffrey Walker, both in their 80s, and Lucille was wearing a new hat. Now, this was back in the day when hats were not that unusual for ladies to wear in church, usually little small hats. But this hat that Lucille had on was not your usual church hat. It was big, and it was red. It was a big red hat, which might have been okay if they had arrived earlier and could have been seated closer to the back. But as they had arrived a little late, being the good Methodists that we were, we filled in from the back. Those seats were gone. And the only seats remaining were on the second pew, directly in front of little four-year-old Christy Gingrich and her family. And as the service got underway and people were standing up and sitting down, little Christy was getting more and more upset that Lucille's big red hat was blocking her line of sight to my dad. Finally, as everyone was seated for the sermon and Dad was reading the scripture, Christy had had enough. As her mother was trying to get her to be still, Christy blurted out from behind Lucille's big red hat, "But Mama, I want to see Jesus." Now, Christy had never seen Jesus, but she knew my dad was pretty close, and she wanted to see him. It's an honest, straightforward request. We want to see Jesus. These Greeks in the beginning of this story that we just read in John came to Philip and said to him basically the same thing, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Presumably, these Greeks are there in Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. We don't know for sure. We don't know what they had heard about Jesus or what they expected to find. A rabbi, a good preacher, a fortune teller, a miracle worker, a magician, son of God. We don't know. What we do know is what they came for. They came seeking, searching, asking, inquiring, desiring. We also know that Jesus didn't just pop right out and give them exactly what they wanted either. In fact, there is some passing of the buck going on here. Did you pay attention to the scriptures? The Greeks talk to Philip. Philip talks to Andrew. Andrew goes to Jesus. And even then, Jesus didn't really connect with them. Instead, he tells his disciples some of the most mysterious and mystifying and mystical stuff possible about seeds and glorification and death and life. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," is what they wanted, though. This is the theme. This is the center of this story and its encounter, just like Christy Gingrich's request, "Mama, I want to see Jesus." The request is what it's all about. The request is at the heart of the matter. The request also defines what the mission of the church is about. This simple request: to present the person of Jesus, the meaning and message of God's love in Jesus, so that he might be seen by others. That's our mission. Our mission as the body of Christ is to make that love known and visible on the other side of Lucille Walker's big red hat. Making him known and visible so that people who are seeking might find him. In the simplest terms, that's our mission. The famous and saintly Mother Teresa of Calcutta, in an interview later in her life, illustrates that point. The reporter who was talking to her noted that many religions and churches in the West had been losing members by the handfuls, but that Mother Teresa's followers were growing by thousands. And the reporter asked her, "Why? Why is this happening?" Mother Teresa answered without hesitation. She said, "I give them Jesus." The reporter pressed on, though, saying, "Yes, I know that, but what strategies have you developed? How do you manage it?" "I give them Jesus," she said. "Yes, we know of your fine work, but there must be something else," the reporter asked. "I give them Jesus," Mother Teresa said. "There is nothing else." It kind of sums it up. This holy woman describes and defines the role, the purpose, and the mission of God's church: to present the love of God in real ways, to present Jesus as a human friend, companion, and guide. To do it in word, yes, but equally, if not more so, to do it in action. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." In many ways, these Greek sightseers are forerunners for us here in the 21st century, you know? The request itself is the request of seekers. We are seekers. That is precisely who we are today. We are seekers. The people who take those surveys tell us that 95%, around 95% of all Americans believe in God or a universal life spirit in some way, shape, or form. 95%. But the word we need to hang on there is believe, believing. The word believing doesn't mean the same as it did in previous generations. Once we were told, if you believe it, that's it. There's nothing else to ask about. You got it. It doesn't mean the same. Assumptions about denominations and church attendance and normal forms of religion have been blown out of the water in the past few years. Would you agree? Believing is not so much about certainties and answers anymore as it is about questions and trying different forms of spirituality. I know it in my own household. If my dad told me I believed something, I believed it. I didn't question it. Instead of arriving at an answer, those who today say they believe are still asking questions, still on the journey. And I understand that now in my own life as a believer. I've got a lot more questions now than I did when I first started this gig. The request of those seeking, searching Greeks in the gospel is also my request and Christy Gingrich's request, and maybe it's yours. I want to see Jesus. Sometimes it's a request that emerges out of a sense of longing for God and a relationship with God. Sometimes it's a request that sounds more like, look, I want to see the manager. I want to see him right now. What's going on? I don't understand. Things don't make any sense. I'm confused by the difficulties of this world. I want to see Jesus. I want to see somebody who can set this straight. In both ways, I am sharing a longing. I'm sharing a searching and a seeking that seems to be a big part of human spirituality and experience today. The work of the body of Christ, that's you. The mission of God's church is to present God's love, is to present God's love in Jesus so that he might be seen. It is to invite the seeking and questioning of human beings and human hearts to find love, hope, strength, compassion in the presence of a living God. God is not dead. To do that, we as a church must be inviting without being judgmental. We must be open and not condemning. Sometimes it means we must question ourselves before we give those standardized answers that we're known for giving from time to time. We must move what we've always known as the church beyond these walls and be the hands and feet and eyes and ears and mouth and heart and wallet of Jesus to our mission field. Today's gospel gives a powerful picture of what we will see as our request to see and meet Jesus is fulfilled. It's in a mysterious language, yes, but it's there. You kind of have to read between the lines. Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It is for this hour I have come, Father, to glorify your name. I, as we talked about, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. I must die as that single seed. These are some strange mystical expressions, to be sure, but what do they mean? They're expressions of that cross right there is what they are. What Jesus is saying is this: if you want to see me, if you want to find me, if you want to know me, look at the cross and my love poured out on it. If you want to see Jesus, look at the cross. We will see the crucified Christ there. If you want to see Jesus, look at the cross. See the utter love of God there. The impossible love of God there. The life of God visible and given to human beings on that cross. If you want to see Jesus, look at that cross. For the one who is willing to give himself for others in a free and full way. There was nothing left on the field. What do we see when we meet the crucified one? We see someone with arms stretched out on the cross so that everyone might come within the reach of God's saving embrace. We see someone who is completely inviting of all humanity and of all that a human being is. What we come to know is that in the same way as we have been seeking and searching ourselves, God has been seeking and searching for us. We discover something else as well that is at the heart of the gospel, that as the arms of God are stretched out for us, we need to do some broad arm stretching ourselves, maybe. Maybe we need to do this more often. So that when our own request to see Jesus is fulfilled, we may come to know two things: God's embracing love for us, and our call, our purpose, our mission as God's people to seek out and welcome others to that same embrace. The gospel, and particularly this gospel story, recognizes our seeking, recognizes our searching, our asking, our yearning, and invites us to look in all the places where we live our lives, in all the places where we live our lives, to see Jesus and to be Jesus and His love. Wouldn't it be something if people saw Jesus in us like Christy Gingrich saw Jesus in my dad? If you look and really pay attention, you can see Jesus around here. I saw Jesus one day last week. He was wearing blue jeans and an old shirt. He was here at the church alone, working hard. For a minute, he looked like one of our members, but it was Jesus. I could tell by his smile. Saw Jesus just a couple of Sundays ago. He was sitting in our Sunday school class. He didn't talk real loud or use long words, but you could tell he believed what he said. For just a minute, it looked like one of our Sunday school members, but it was Jesus. I could tell by the love in his voice. I saw Jesus the other day at the grocery store. He was helping an old man carry his bags out to his car. For a minute, I thought it was someone who was just there to shop, but it was Jesus. I could tell by his courteousness and his respect. Saw Jesus yesterday. He was at the hospital visiting a friend who was sick. For just a minute, I thought it was a pastor friend of mine, but it was Jesus. I could tell by the tears in his eyes. I saw Jesus this morning. He was in my kitchen fixing me a special lunch. Just a moment, it looked kind of like her. But it was Jesus. I could feel the love in her heart. I see Jesus everywhere, taking food to the sick, welcoming strangers into his home, being a friend to a newcomer, or just offering a strong arm to lean on. Just for a minute, I think it's someone else, but it's always Jesus. I can tell by the way they serve. You know, to the world, to the community which surrounds us, to visitors at this church, Jesus looks like you and me. For some, the only time they will ever see Jesus is when they look at you. What do they see? The world's request is this: sir, mama, church, we want to see Jesus. What we do, how we act, is it reflecting the compassion, the life, the love, and the face of Christ? Or are we hiding him behind Lucille Walker's big red hat? Thanks be to God.
I'm turning home to the place I have been before. It's been a long and lovely time. Now I'm turning home to what my heart's been searching for. Never more to roam. I'm turning home.
Are you looking for a church home? You are certainly welcome at Paradise United Methodist Church in Smithville, Missouri. Join us for in-person worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. or online on Facebook Live, YouTube, or from the website at cometoparadise.org. This is Pastor Rob. Looking forward to seeing you. Blessings on your head.